When I was a kid, they did this thing for the first time ever. I was like fifth, sixth, seventh grade. And the only reason I really know it is because it's when I started going to like junior high basketball games. And you go to a concession stand at the junior high basketball games. And when I first started going, there was all the basic stuff you buy. You get popcorn, you get hot dogs, you get Snickers, Kit Kat, Milky Way, Three Musketeers, you know, the general stuff. And I got a little bit older, so somewhere in there, so a couple of years after I started going, there was this thing that they came out with called combos. I don't know if any of you remember combos. I've heard that in some like weird Eastern Bloc countries, they're still available to you. But they would take things and they would combine them together. Like for instance, they would have pretzels and there'd be these little like tube looking things, okay? And inside them would be like this mustard paste stuff. I know it sounds weird and awful because it was weird and awful. And then they'd have these other ones that would have like cheese stuff inside of them. And then they made pizza combos that the outside was supposed to taste like crust and the inside was supposed to be like pizza sauce and cheese and everything. And they were these little, I mean, you'd eat them like you ate chips. And I began thinking, this is nasty. This is horrible. These combinations are just not right. And I had friends of mine that thought they were the greatest thing in the entire world. They start popping them and eating them. And this is crazy. And then it wasn't too much later that I began seeing other things beginning to be mixed that just were never intended to be mixed for any reason. My friends started doing this thing called suicides. And it wasn't the thing that you run on the basketball court or anything like that. It was this thing where they would go up to a soda machine and they would take some out of every single. Some of you are nodding your heads like, you've done this. You are sick, warped, horrible people. At no point in recorded history was Mountain Dew, Diet Pepsi, and Sprite ever intended to be combined together. I'm not sure that Mountain Dew was ever intended to be created in the first place, you know, much less the other stuff added to it. I mean, it's just kind of weird. And so, you know, they would begin adding these things together. Now, I was okay with some of that stuff because I could just put it off and it not bother me until recently. Something kind of earth-shattering, really heart painful to me happened. I picked up a bag of Doritos because next to Krispy Kreme donuts, Doritos is the next best thing we're going to eat in heaven, okay? And so I grabbed my thing of what I thought were nacho cheese Doritos. Have you heard of these things that they now have where they put two different flavored Doritos in the same bag? It's not right. Because if you're not paying attention, you don't know which one you've grabbed. And it's one of those things where tastes are okay on their own if it's what you're expecting. But if you're expecting one thing and something else begins to be tasted by the buds, it's like, you know, it's like the person that really doesn't mind drinking Diet Coke rather than regular Coke. But if you drink a Diet Coke thinking you're getting regular Coke, it tastes worse somehow. Well, it's that same kind of deal. I reached in, I grabbed a Dorito thinking it was these wonderful nacho cheese Doritos that we're going to eat in heaven. I'm not saying we're going to take communion with them. I'm just saying that it's, you know, we're going to eat a lot of them. And so I'm reaching in, getting ready to take this nacho cheese Dorito, and it was like this pizza-flavored Dorito junk. Some things are never meant to be combined. They just aren't. There are some things that I learned growing up. I learned that there were certain times that there were certain things that just couldn't be put together. You know, if you had a kid who was really, really cool and he was a big athlete and he was all that kind of stuff. And then if you had the kid that was the trumpet player and band geek leading the marching band, no offense, guys, I say that with incredible respect. You know, band geek is a term of endearment, all right? But it was one of those things that you would never expect to see those two things in the same person. Not to say it didn't happen, but when it happened, everybody goes, oh, really? That's different. That's odd. When I was in high school, we had a guy who played quads. For those of you who don't know what quads are, talk to a drummer. One of the band geeks will help you out, okay? We had this guy who played quads, and he was also a player on the football team. And it was a huge deal that during halftime, instead of going in with the football team, he would stay out and he would march with the marching band in his football uniform playing quads. He took off the shoulder pads because they got in the way, you know, but he'd be out there and he'd be playing quads. And see, there were things that people just thought those things cannot go together. When I was in college, I came upon an automobile accident, really bad automobile accident. And it was a woman who had collided with a power pole. And I don't mean just like a little telephone pole, you know, that big around. I mean, big, huge power post, big concrete pier. Base of this thing had to be as big around as this. And the power pole had cut into the front of her car all the way up to the engine block. She'd been going so fast. It had then flipped the car over, and the car was lying on its top. And what happened was, once we got everybody out of the car, miraculously everybody in the car survived. The woman was paralyzed from the waist down, but she lived through the ordeal. She had a little tiny baby in the car that, when we got there, was crawling around on the roof of the car. And luckily had been spared, had no serious injury whatsoever. And one of the things that happened as everything was done was they had to remove the car from the power pole. Here was the interesting thing. They had collided with such force that it had welded the two things together. This big metal power pole and the heat from the engine, everything had happened. When they came, they could not separate the power pole from the engine, and they had to scrap the entire thing and bring in new. See, there are times when combinations don't seem to make sense. But when something truly collides with another thing with enough force, it joins together in such a way that it cannot be ripped apart. I had a great conversation this last Wednesday with our teenagers, and Emily Curran, who's here today, we were talking about some stuff. And one of the things that I said is probably the hardest thing for me to understand about God, hardest thing for me to understand about what he's done for us, is this idea that he would take his son and he would allow his son to become human. Now, for some of us, we've heard this story so often that we hear it and we just automatically take it. And it's like, oh yeah, well, we've heard that 1,000 times before, so that totally makes sense. But I want you to stop and think about it for a second. The God who created us, the God who had the power to speak the earth into existence, the God who has the power to control the wind and the waves, the one who controls the snow coming down today, the one who has that kind of power chose to allow his son, part of the Godhead himself, chose to allow him to become human. See, to me, that's a combination that doesn't make sense. The idea that the holy and the humble somehow would be joined together, it doesn't work in my mind. The Bible tells us that there was this young woman named Mary. An angel came to Mary and said, Mary, this is what's gonna happen to you. You're gonna have a baby. Now, never been with a man. You've never had that happen, but you're still gonna have a baby. And this is gonna be his name. And this is who he is, and this is what he's gonna do. And here this humble little girl allows God to use her in this way. And here comes the Son of God in flesh. There's this word called incarnation. And incarnation literally means wrapped in flesh. It's this idea that God took himself and clothed himself to be like us. And in doing so, he would see what we see from our perspective. He would feel the way we feel. He would hurt the way we hurt. And we see it all throughout his life. When his friend Lazarus dies, he's distraught. He's hurt. He cries. When his friends begin to finally get what he's teaching him, he rejoices. Like, oh, I'm so glad you finally get it. When he sees people defiling the temple, the place where God is to be worshiped, he's ticked off and mad and turns the place upside down. He displays those emotions that we have. But yet this whole idea of the holy and the humble, the human, being joined together, it's a combination that just in my mind is so hard to wrap my mind around. But very similarly to that car wreck where this car crashed into this huge metal pole with such force that it fused them together. When God allowed himself to collide with humanity and his son came and incarnationally wrapped himself in flesh and became like us, became one of us, so that he could eventually pay the price for us. This collision happened with such force, with such incredible power, that it inexplicably and forever joined us together in such a way that the story can no longer be broken apart into its two halves. It's now joined. Luke chapter 2 is where I want to start reading today. And this is a passage that a lot of you are super familiar with. And so I want you to hear it. I want to read these first few verses in the Holman Christian Standard Version. It's just a way of kind of wrapping some new terminology to older terms. And this is what it says. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. Now, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them at the lodging place." Now, I have heard this story since I was itty bitty teeny tiny. I mean, I was in church programs where I was a shepherd, which meant you put on your dad's bathrobe and carried a funny cane, you know? In fact, one particular Christmas pageant, it was my job to be part of the three wise men, but I was an extra add-on. They already had three wise men, but they needed to sing We Three Kings. They needed another voice. So I was the hump in the camel. They had a cardboard camel cutout with a face hole, and I put my face in there. Not many people can say they have been the hump of the camel. Someday on my tombstone, he was the hump, something like that. I'm not sure how that works. Okay, all right. So what happens is that in this moment here that we begin to read about, in my mind, it's this story that I've heard over and over and over, and it seems to make sense, but I want you to hear it a little differently. In those days, a decree went out from the government that everyone in America should register themselves. Now, this registration took place during the current administration. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from the town of Bourbonnais in Illinois, in the United States of America, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, wait, that's not how it worked. That's not where he lived. I know that. I get that. But I want you to understand, he lived in a real place. He lived in a province. He lived in a country. Just the same way that we do. This was not just some magical, mystical, far-off place. This was a place where people lived and ate and worked and celebrated and grieved and all those kinds of things that happen when people live in community with one another. And they went to this place that's called Bethlehem. And the reason he went there is because that's where his family roots were from. I mean, we all get that. Everybody's got a place where it's home. You're getting ready to head home for Christmas. Some of you are getting ready to take finals this week, and God willing, if you survive those, you plan on heading home. And when you head home, some of you are going home to a place that you grew up in. Some of you, you may trek someplace where it's not where you grew up, but it's where your parents grew up, where grandma and grandpa live, or maybe even further back than that. There may be multiple generations of your family that live someplace. I know what it's like growing up, and you go where grandma and grandpa were at. You go visit great-grandma, grandpa, or aunts, uncles, whoever it might be. That's kind of the idea here. It's not just where he currently lived, but it's where his family came from. They went there to be registered along with Mary, who was big time prego. That's the Chad revised version right there. Because I didn't understand it. You know, when I was a little kid, it says, you know, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Well, it's like, what, did they schedule it? Is it 4 o'clock on a Tuesday? Whatever. No. I mean, this lady, big time pregnant, traveling on a donkey to get where she needs to go. I know what it was like when Rachel was super pregnant. Riding in a car was difficult. Can't imagine what it was like sitting on top of a donkey getting from place to place. It says, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in cloth. She put him in the cutest onesie she could find. Little sleeper with footies, you know, the whole bit. She laid him in a feeding trough. Now see, that's where things just totally mess up. This God who formed us, this God who created us, this God who has the power to sustain us, this God who would eventually give his life to save us, chose to be wrapped in human flesh. And to help us understand the massive difference between the holy and the humble, it wasn't enough just for him to be born at home. It wasn't enough for him to be born in an upper middle class family or royalty or a governor's house. He was born to this couple that had to travel just to be registered where their family was from. When they got there, there wasn't any place for him to stay. So they're out back in a stable, and the one who formed the earth was laid in a manger, a feeding trough, stuffed with hay so it'd be soft enough for him to lie there. See, that's a collision that in my mind doesn't make sense. But see, there was a reason for it. There was a point to what he was doing. There was this incredible debt that humanity owed because of sinfulness invading our life, and there was no way that we could pay that debt on our own. And he knew the only way that he could do it was to express his love in such a way that the collision of the holy and the humble would come together and forever fuse, would forever forge themselves in such a way that there might be a possible way for us to come back in right relationship with God. And the good news of Christmas, the great news of Christmas, is that that collision took place. The next few verses in Luke chapter 2 are summed up far better by someone else than by me. I'd like for you to watch it right now.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I love the concerts. I love the music. I love the stories. I love the family. I love the food. I love the food. I really like the food. But the meaning of Christmas is wrapped up in the collision of the holy and the humble. the intent of Christmas is what we find in those verses that Linus spoke about. Now, it's a special. It first came out in 1965. I was negative 10 years at that point. I saw it when I came on the scene a little bit later. In fact, it was one of those things you'd always try to catch every year. For some of you that have never experienced what it's like to have like three or four channels in your home, ask somebody who has a little bit of gray hair and they'll tell you that there was this time when you had like ABC, CBS, NBC. If you were really lucky, you got like a UHF 13. Some of you have no clue what UHF is. But we would have that. And one night every Christmas season, that would come on. And everybody would gather around TV and you'd watch Charlie Brown Christmas. And here Charlie Brown has struggled to kind of create this Christmas atmosphere and get into the Christmas spirit. And the only tree that's left is this little scraggly little thing. And he's just kind of missed the point of the whole thing. And Linus sums it up and says, this is what happened. These shepherds were staying out in their field. Talk about humble. There's nothing more humble than a shepherd. Nothing more lowly than the guys that have to fall around these stinky, smelly, nasty, dumb animals, making sure that they don't hurt themselves, making sure they find water, making sure they got food, keeping the wolves away. So they were out in the fields keeping watch at night over their flock. Incredibly humble. But then the Holy shows up. An angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Because let's be honest, in the middle of the night, watching sheep, angels show up in the sky. Either you had too much of something, or something crazy is going on. And they were freaked out. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David." See, the angels, the representation of this holy God, are speaking to this humble group of men. Here, the holy, the Savior, the Messiah comes in this humblest of cities, this little town called Bethlehem. This collision of the holy and the humble is so significant. And one of the things that I love the most about that special you just saw, one of the things that grabs my heart every time I see it is this. I don't know if you saw Charlie Brown much growing up, but Charlie Brown was big for me, and you get the colored comics on Sundays, and I'd always read Charlie Brown. And Linus, the one who says that, is this younger brother to Lucy, and he's kind of the one kicked around by everybody else, and he's super insecure, and he carries around this blanket all the time. And don't take that blanket away from him, because he's petrified without it. But when he's sharing the Christmas story, I don't know if you saw it, but as soon as the angel says, "Don't be afraid," Linus drops the blanket. As soon as the Messiah has come, as soon as Jesus shows up on the scene, he doesn't need the blanket. There's no need to be afraid, because the collision of the holy and the humble happens in such a way that it fuses the storyline of all creation together in such a way that we now have hope. The joy to the world that the band led us in this morning is so true because of the collision of the holy and the humble. Goes on and it shares with them what's going to happen. Man, you're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That means just strips of cloth. I mean, bind the kid up, keep him warm, keep him tight, keep him secure. By the way, he's in a feeding trough. If the shepherds hadn't thought they'd had a case of bad stew before then, they're thinking that at this point. Because the angels just told them that the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is in a trough. This is one who is holy, made himself humble. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Not because it was forced on him, but because he gladly gave himself to do it. Because he loves you and he loves me so much that he was willing to do that. Nate's going to come back up here, and he's going to play for us that song that we sang just a minute ago. It talks about who he is and why he came. Now, we don't think of it as a traditional Christmas song, but let me tell you, there is no truer Christmas message than the words of this song. He became sin who knew no sin. He who was holy became humble because he was Jesus the Messiah. Name above all names. He's the blessed Redeemer. And then comes this word, Emmanuel. We see it on Christmas cards. We sing it in carols, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God so humbling himself that he could be with us in our midst. He is the Holy, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Prince of Peace, but he is also Emmanuel, God with us. God for you, God for me. So what is our response at Christmas? How do we respond to the good news that joy has come to the world? Well, first we do this. First we acknowledge the incredible collision that happened that night. Collision between the holy and the humble, those two things that didn't seem to make sense together, but yet God forged together in such a perfect way that he might make a way for us to come back into relationship with him. So that means if you're here today and you have never experienced what it means to follow Jesus Christ, if it means you've never begun a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the first response to the good news of Emmanuel come to be with us is that you take a step towards a relationship with him. Here at Journey, we're always talking about taking the next step. What does it mean to take another step in our journey of faith? And today it may just simply be asking someone the question, what does it mean to be in relationship with a God who would do that for me? It may be taking that step of faith of saying, I need to be in relationship with him. And in just a minute, when Nate begins to sing, there are gonna be some people that are gonna be in the back that would love to talk with you. And if you've never begun that relationship with Jesus, I'm going to beg you right now, just slip out from where you're at, find one of those folks in the back and say, hey, tell me more about this. Help me understand. They're not going to force you anything. They're not going to twist your arm. They're not going to keep you here for an hour. They'd love to talk with you about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's the second response to this incredible collision. If God was willing to humble himself for us, why in the world wouldn't we humble ourselves for those around us? Why in the world wouldn't we look at the person in the checkout line next to us with grace and kindness and love rather than frustration and impatience? There's not a single one of us that doesn't know someone this Christmas season that's hurting. Doesn't know someone that is in need. And the question is, how do we become the light of Christ? Those of us that have a personal relationship with him, how do we display that incredible collision of the holy and the humble in such a way that says we love you and we care about you and we want to do this for you, not because we have to, because that's not why God did what he did, but because we want to. Because we love you, because we have a God that first loved us and gave himself for us. Nate's gonna lead us in this song, and when we sing this song, I pray that we would sing it acknowledging that he is Messiah, he is Redeemer, he is Prince of Peace, he is Lord of all, but he is also Emmanuel, God with us. And he now says that those of us who have a personal relationship with him are his hands and his feet that reach out to this community to make a difference in his name. As we sing, take that step of faith, whether it's learning more about that relationship or just simply saying, God, I want to make a difference. You may just simply say to him, I know who it is I need to make a difference with. Would you stand with us as we sing?
Jesus, my son, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, a rescue.
Thank you for the incredible collision that took place between the holy and the humble. God, we thank you that you gave us that Messiah, the one who would redeem us, the one who would save us, and the one that sustains us so that we could live a life that would honor you. God, I pray that as we take the next step in our journey of faith, that it would be a step that would show that collision of holy and humble to the world that we encounter, that we might make a difference every day for your kingdom. God, thank you for giving us this time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One quick thing, I want you to have a seat real quick. I know for several of you, this is your last Sunday before Christmas break. I want you to know, as a church, we are praying for you during finals this week. That does not mean that we're praying that if you don't study, you still get a passing grade. It means we pray that God will take all that effort you've given and give you the confidence to be able to do what you need to do this week as you enter into classes. But there's somebody special that I just want to recognize this morning. I need Nick to come up here. Come on up, Nick. Come on up. Yeah, some of you know him better as Chuck than Nick. Come on up here. Nick has a really great opportunity this next semester, and Nick's going to be going to Washington, D.C., serving as an intern there. So because of that, it means we're not going to see him for a whole nother semester. I mean, months and months. It's crazy. We expect to get email updates, Facebook stuff, and send me Philly cheesesteak whenever you go down to check that out. Okay, that's all I'm asking for right there. But he's going to be going, and he's going to be working in a place that many times is difficult for people of faith. He's going to be stepping into an arena where it's hard. And so what we'd love to do this morning before he goes is we'd love just to pray for him. That God will use him in awesome ways as he goes, because we feel like he goes out as a part of us. You see him up here serving in worship team all the time. We do things like that. He's been a part of small groups, our journey groups that are so important to what we do here in our life at Journey. And so we want to send him out. So here's what I want to do. If you know Nick and you'd like to, okay, Nick, we're going to ask you to come right down here in the middle now that we've shown you off. If you'd like to, as we just have a special time for him, if you want to gather around him, put an arm on his shoulder, just kind of gather around while we pray for him, that'd be really cool. Get up out of your seat, do that right now. I'm not going to take a lot of time. Some of you are coming up, and we just want to, did not say be inappropriate. And we're going to pray, and Kyle, would you lead us as we pray for Nick today? One last thing before you go today. We need some help the 26th, 27th, and 28th of December. I know that's right after Christmas. I get that. I specifically need college students. Some of you know we take our junior high and high school students to something called Youth Encounter every year. Youth Encounter is a blast. It's in Springfield, Illinois. Huge concert, speakers, all kind of thing. This year they're anticipating between 3,000 and 5,000 students will be there for this event. Some of you know the band 33 Miles. They're going to be there. There's some others that are going to be there. It's going to be a great time. And they are in need of some collegiate volunteers to help work the event. And so any college students that will go and be a part of this, you go on the 26th, will be done on the 28th. And it means they will cover your hotel in the Convention Center Hotel downtown Springfield, Illinois. They're going to cover all your food. They're going to get you into the event. They do this huge extreme room. It's like filled with like crazy inflatables and all that kind of stuff. They have special playtime just for college students. So that after you're done setting it up, you have to test the equipment. That's what they say, you know. Test it and make sure it's safe for the junior high and high school students the next day. Some of you would be working backstage. I'm actually a stage manager for the event, so some of you work backstage with me, making sure that the bands get on and off, their drum sets set up, and guitars are ready to go, that kind of thing. Some people will work merchandise booths for the groups that are there, get all sorts of free autographs and stuff and everything. Some will work security or extreme room stuff and all. If you would be interested in that at all, and here's the cool thing, if you're a student that lives in Central Illinois, and that's a quick drive for you, you can just meet us there. I can get you all the details. If you want to go with us, we will leave from here around noon on the 26th to take off and go down. If you want to meet from someplace else, we'll tell you where to get and how to get there and all that kind of stuff. It'll be fun to get a free t-shirt out of the deal because I know that makes the difference in whether or not you go, if you get an extra piece of swag to wear around. But we'd love to have some help. They really need about 10 to 12 more volunteers to make everything work. So if any of you are interested, it'd be a great fun few days to be a part of that. Either see me to let me know, or let Shelby Harris, who's actually working back in Tots Live, you guys know her from school, connect with her. Let one of the two of us know so we can get you connected with all the information you need to have, okay? Have a great week. Have an awesome Christmas. Remember, let others see the collision of the holy and the humble. We'll see you back next week.
Come set your rule and reign in our